Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Shotgun snap to Mayfield. Sets, throws, right side. Catch at midfield. Breaking a tackle is Palmer. Down the right sideline. Veers across the field. He's going to go. He'll go all the way for the touchdown.
There's something about whether it's you're an underdog or a road game. Just having your backs against the wall and knowing it's just your team versus everybody else when you're counted out. And it's always fun to be in that role. Obviously, I'm pretty comfortable in it, but our team has completely embraced that throughout the year.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside a very sharp Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher. Baker Mayfield, guys, at his best when he is the underdog.
He was magnificent last night. Good for Baker. Good for Baker. Good for Jared Goff. Good weekend for written off quarterbacks, Matthew.
Right. Yeah, for sure, right? It was a redemption road. I mean, think about this. Like, you know, no one ever believed in Mahomes or Josh Allen. Like, and those two guys came through as well. People doubted Mason Rudolph on the road, and he showed everyone that they were right. But no, seriously. No, Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield, unbelievable stories. You also, by the way, you have the number one seed in the NFC is Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes.
And you have the number one seed in the AFC is pretty good for a running back. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, like, you know, a guy that was, yeah, you know, we like our guys a little bit more quarterbacky.
Yeah.
I mean, so it is, it's an unbelievable kind of playoff field here when you think about it.
Yep.
It's kind of a redemption road, if you will.
Do you know, Matthew, that Football Night in America ended 2 days ago? What's going on with your outfit?
I have to, sometimes I like to class up the joint.
Right.
Hey, I'm doing this. Listen, I'm, you know what? I want to honor Jason Kelce's career.
There we go.
I'm doing this. Jason Kelce, of course, the news broke, you know, last night. He told everyone that he was retiring.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this a little bit later on the show, but just want to point out Jason Kelce drinks for free. An unbelievable career for Jason Kelce. We're all Jason Kelce fans.
Hell yeah.
Here at the Happy Hour. You drink for free, Mr. Kelce. No, to be honest with you, the truth of the matter is that NBC, the national broadcasting company, has asked me to record something and look a little bit nicer than I do on this thing. So after the show, just because of timing, I have to wear this. And
yeah.
I'm not allowed to say on air what it is,
right.
But it'll be something that'll be on actual network television.
Yes, and the Alabama, the Roll Tide hoodie wasn't going to suffice.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly
what European
tee, which yeah. is what I...
yeah. That's what I was pushing for.
Yeah, yeah. No, I walked into work today in a Roll Tide hoodie. So, yeah, anyway, so, yeah, this is me... working smarter, not harder.
There
so
go.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glassing up the joint. This is yeah, a little football in Latin America. And by the way, we do know also now what the matchup will be. It will be Buccaneers at Lions on Sunday, first game, and yours truly, along with everyone else on Football Night America, will be there in Detroit for the pregame at 2 p.m. Eastern, leading up to kickoff at 3 p.m. on NBC Sports and Peacock. I'm a company man.
The battle of former number one picks now playing for new franchises. You don't get that level of redemption very often, and we saw that really in full circle last night, Jay, with Baker Mayfield, as we led off with 337 yards, 3 touchdowns. The Bucs offense just completely stomped out this Eagles defense, where we've seen this coming the way the season ended for Philadelphia, but even this was a surprise. I mean, to be fair, the Bucs were underdogs in this game.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to James Bradbury. That was the most glaring thing to me on the Eagles defense, his inability to tackle. You can see it there on your screen, and talked yesterday about how just wanted to see the first two or three plays of Baker Mayfield and what he looked like physically, and if he did look right, then the 231.5 passing prop was going to be way too low. He looked fine. He looked fantastic. He was moving with just such zip, making quick decisions. I know he got sacked a few times, but I'm not sure they were really on him. And I mean, he was fantastic, and that is the guy that he was in the second half of the season.
That was a great call on the 231. I wish I had remembered to bet that. I didn't. I was sitting at home with my kids and everything like that, and I forgot to bet that. But he cashes that easily as well, well over as well. Over 300 yards, throws three touchdowns as well. You saw that. He got some help by the poor tackling, but, you know, give credit where credit is due, because so much of the conversation about this game will be about the failure of the Philadelphia Eagles, not only in this game, but over the second half of the year. But, like, Baker Mayfield played well. Yep. The entire team, honestly, and not only did Baker Mayfield play well, he should have played, quote-unquote, a lot better. Mike Evans had a couple of brutal drops. Cade Otton had a couple of drops as well. Like, honestly, like, players making normal plays that they would normally make, Mike Evans being normal Mike Evans, like, he's over 400 yards and, like, four touchdowns. I felt like he wasn't getting a ton of help. Like, I do feel like the interior of the line of the Buccaneers didn't hold up nearly as well. Like, he was under pressure a decent amount. So I thought Baker had a great game. And for a guy that had been written off and is on his, whatever it is, fourth team in, you know, 18 months or whatever right. it is, like, good for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, good for him. Baker. Great comeback season for him. I mean, he finished statistically as about like the 10th best quarterback in football, which is incredible for a guy who came into the season and us not wondering if he was going to beat out Kyle Trask for the starting job. Congratulations as well to a guy that we never talk about, Dave Canales.
Canales,
right. I don't know if it's because his name sounds like a character on like season 4 of The Shield, right. Like Shane Vandrell and Vic Mackey and Dave Canales, but I mean, this offense wasn't supposed to be good. The offensive line was supposed to be bad. Baker Mayfield wasn't supposed to be the answer. They fixed the offensive line. They have an explosive downfield passing offense. And they started to get a bit of the run game going as well. Like, it's a really solid offense at the moment.
Especially when you think about the fact that coming into the season, so they had Evans and Godwin. Godwin and Evans. Yeah. Like, they didn't have much. And they're like, can Rashad White be a three-down back? Like, we saw some moments of it last year. But, like, you know, they'd had Leonard Fournette as well. And, oh, by the way, they had Tom Brady under center. So, like, you didn't know if Rashad White could be a true workhorse running back. They didn't have much depth behind him. Could you get anything out of Trey Palmer or Cade Otton or some of these other complimentary guys? You know, so they didn't have a ton of depth on this team. And yet the Buccaneers managed to produce, you know, for the most part, you know, obviously a nice fantasy season and statistically, and they were able to move the ball. This defense, which is much maligned, you know, stepped up as well. Like, you know, give credit on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a huge Todd Bowles guy, but give credit where credit is due. The defense played well. Winfield is an absolute stud. Like, I mean, what a find for them.
The fact he was not the all-pro...
It's unbelievable.
The Pro Bowl safety over Buda Baker is one of the craziest storylines of the NFL season.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like having Jared Goff MVP over Lamar Jackson. No shade to Jared Goff, just the first name popped into my mind. But, I mean, it's insane. And he and Kyle Hamilton have been the two best safeties in football this season. And the reality is with the Bucs is that they lost Tom Brady and they got better. Like, they had a better record. They've gone further in the playoffs, winning a playoff game. So it's a great story all around. And Todd Bowles, I think the knock on Todd Bowles, like, I think everyone's always thought that he's a good defensive game planner. He's a good defensive mind. It's just like, is this guy a head coach? Looks like he's a head coach. And the defensive game plan, Hurts has struggled with pressure and blitz all season. And they're like, all right, well, we're just going to blitz you every time until you find an answer. If the Eagles go in empty, it's just blitz. And Hurts had no answers all night.
54% of the time, the Buccaneers blitzed Jalen Hurts. That was the highest blitz rate by any team in the wild card round. They were actually blitzed the fourth highest rate this season, not including the playoffs. Philadelphia, right, exactly. Teams knew, like, that's the way to do it. And they never adjusted. They never had a plan for it. And, you know, I mean, to me, nothing came out. Like, and they're not an excuse team. But I'll say it just doesn't feel like Jalen Hurts looked like Jalen Hurts this entire season. It just looks like he's just gimping through and trying to tough it out. I don't think he was 100% healthy.
To me, the problem, though, Connor, is that he did look like Jalen Hurts, but the Jalen Hurts of 2021. He looked exactly like that guy for most of the season. I'm not sure with the knee. Like, when he takes off, like, he seems to be moving fine. Like, he seems to be maneuvering normally. I'm not sure if it was a problem at one point of the season and he got slightly better. I think it's just the offense. He's just playing with no confidence.
Yeah,
the offense without Steichen. I mean, he had guys open and he's just not throwing the ball. Like, the safety was so bizarre. Like, that just shouldn't happen. Like, they're not blitzing. He stares the pass rush in the face and then what, just takes the safety? Like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's trust, right? It feels like the trust was not there this year, where last year they were humming all the time with Steichen. Like, we're going to come out, our first 15 scripted are going to be boom, 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 and then we're going to adjust. I feel like the Eagles never had that counterpunch all year on offense. It was just Tush push in short yard situations, and we're going to see if we can make a great miracle play the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness to them, I'll just say this, though. Goddard missed a decent amount of time, obviously. A.J. Brown wasn't there last night. Like, they've had some injuries on the offensive side of the ball as well. But, yeah, to your point, no Shane Steichen on the offense, no Jonathan Gannon on the defense as well. They also had some losses in the offseason here as well. And it seems insane to think about this. But there's now rumors that Nick Sirianni, a year after leading this team to the Super Bowl, you know, and a guy that was top five in Coach of the Year odds in the middle of the year when they were 10-1, now might be looking for work in a week.
Yeah, it's insane. And think about this as well. It's not just the 10-1. Think about a quarter time of the San Francisco game where they are destroying the Niners. They should have been up like 14-0. Brock Purdy goes 3 and out both two times. At that point, it looks like the Eagles are your Super Bowl favorite. And now all of a sudden, they just got bounced with a 23 loss at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, it's insane. I can't remember an in-season fall from grace that happened so quickly and so violently as this Eagles season.
Well, let's listen to Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts on the state and future of the organization right after the game.
Oh, obviously, we're in a big slide. And, you know, anytime that's the case, I always look at myself first, and I didn't do a good enough job. And obviously, we lost five of the last six and lost today. And it's almost like you couldn't get out of the rut. We couldn't get out the rut we're in, and that's all of us. We'll all have to look ourselves in the mirror and accept that and find answers, find solutions.
Are you concerned at all about your job status?
Like I just said over here, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about the guys. Again, there's a lot of guys in that locker room, all the guys in that locker room, every single one of them that put their heart and soul into this. I'm not worried about me.
Do you want Nick back?
I didn't know he was going anywhere.
Well, there's obviously a lot of questions about whether.
I didn't know that.
No, but you didn't know that.
Nah.
Where's the confidence level in him then to fix this team?
I have a ton of confidence in everyone in this building.
Jalen Hurts was the second person you heard from there after Nick Sirianni. Didn't seem too interested in the organization moving on. Yeah. Really interested in the question.
Didn't know he was going anywhere.
Yeah. Could just say I started with the second part of the answer. I have full confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, here's the final seven games. After the Eagles started 10-1, the only loss in those first 11 was to the Zach Wilson-led Jets. Should have been a sign of things to come. Against the Niners, they lost 42-19. At Dallas, they lost by 20 points, 33-13. A close one to Seattle. They did beat the Giants in another close game, and then lost to the Cardinals, Giants, and then, of course, the Bucks in the wild card round. I mean, the thing is, when you look at the second half of that list there, Barry, it's not even scary opponents.
So it's a couple of different things here. First off, like, I'm not surprised. Like, I said all week long, and I said it yesterday, I love the Bucks +3, and I think the Bucks actually win. You know, I said that all because, again, of how they ended the season. And I feel like it's a little bit like the Cleveland Browns here, which is like we talked about the Browns going into Houston. We're saying, like, they can't keep getting away with it. Like, and it felt like the Browns over the second half of the year with all the interceptions and the fumbles and the turnovers by Joe Flacco, and that the defense had beaten up on some bad teams, that they were sort of doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors. And we felt that way about Philadelphia. Even when they were 10-1, Jay, you and I and Connor, we would talk about this right here on the show, and we'd say, like, you know, like, they're not a 10-1 team. Like, if Gabe Davis doesn't run the wrong way, they lose that game, you know, to the Bills.
MVS against the Chiefs.
If MVS makes a catch, like, you know, against the Chiefs, like, you know, big F there. But you know, the fact of the matter is
he was wide open. The throw was great.
My point is that there were a couple of different times up until that San Francisco game where you're like, wow, they really, you know, they're living right, because there are a couple of games that they easily could have lost, probably should have lost, and they didn't. So I never think they were as good as the 10-1 record indicated, but I think that hurt them as well. It's so interesting in the NFL in terms of perception, right? Because they probably weren't as good as 10-1, but they weren't as bad as losing five of the last six.
That's the thing.
As well.
It's when they were 10-1, they were like an 8-3 team. But this team isn't close to an 8-3 team the way it's played down the stretch. And I know Hurts is getting a lot of criticism, and you saw the exchange he had with Dallas Goedert on the sideline where Hurts' body language never looks good. But at the same time, like, when Jake Elliott made the 59-yarder against Buffalo, Hurts doesn't, his face doesn't move. Like, that's just how he is on the sidelines. We take a look at Dallas Goedert and Hurts. Not really getting into it because Jalen Hurts is just completely, just no reaction whatsoever. But that's just kind of what he's like on the sideline. And maybe that's a problem in itself, but just a complete disaster. It's incredible to think that, I mean, this team was, they were like minus 400 to win the Super Bowl at halftime. When it looked like Mahomes' knee was done, his ankle was done. And to go from that, to get to 10-1 and now to fall apart. I mean, it's incredible.
Look, the only thing, and losing Kelce, we'll talk about Kelce here in a second as well. They weren't able to establish the run game. That was another problem. Credit to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Since week 11, DeAndre Swift has 15 carries, under 15 carries in six of the final eight games. They just didn't run the ball effectively. They never used it in the passing game, three or fewer receptions in 13 of the games he played this year. He ends with, under 70 total yards in a game where they were in negative game script the entire time. You would have thought Swift, one of their better players on offense, would have been more involved. But as much as you and Connor and myself want to sit here and criticize the Philadelphia Eagles, the fact of the matter is that Penn State Blake, our researcher here at the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, is a diehard fan of all things Philadelphia sports, hence Penn State. Blake, he went to Penn State, obviously. He loves his Phillies, his Flyers, his Eagles. Here he is. Here's Penn State, Blake.
Yep.
And we have decided to let the floor have you. The Eagle season is over, Penn State, Blake. The floor is yours. Please, State of the Union for the Eagles. Your thoughts on the 2023 season of your beloved Birds.
So I'll go to what you said earlier about how they didn't feel like a 10-1 team. This kind of stems back to last season, too. Look at the quarterbacks that they played also. And then you go into the playoffs, play Daniel Jones and the Giants. They lose Brock Purdy. A lot of things were going the Eagles' way, so it kind of felt like that. And then you get the two new coordinators this year. It's not meshing. And then you have a lot of just inept play calling and inept playmaking from everybody. And it's really frustrating because as a diehard Birds fan, you just expect every week they're going to be the best team in the league. And then they just fall flat on their face.
What I don't get, Blaine, the schedule last year was very easy, and I thought maybe there's a chance this team is just fraudulent, but they played so well in the Super Bowl. They played well enough to win that game and beat Mahomes, and Hurts was, outside of the bizarre kind of fumble six or whatever that was, he was magnificent in that game. So, like, what happened to that team?
I feel like this happens in the NFL a lot, and there's, like, one-off games, and that's the beauty of it. It's, like, any given Sunday. Just felt like, in that aspect, like, Hurts was just playing very well, but the defense couldn't get any stops in that second half.
Yep.
And that bled into this season. And then, obviously, you have the change with the Sai to Patricia. Who knows if even that was the right decision? Even in those games, the offense scored 13 and 19 points.
Yep.
So there was clearly an offensive issue, but you couldn't fire the OC because, frankly, this is Nick's offense.
Yep. Right.
So if you're going to fire the OC, you're kind of firing Nick in a sense, and maybe that's what they're going to do in the offseason.
One of the things you said on the pre-show call I thought was really interesting. It was because, yes, they went from Desai to Patricia, but talk about when they actually made that change.
Yeah.
Because that was around the San Francisco Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, it was after the Dallas game, and both teams, San Francisco and Dallas, were coming off 10-day rest advantage.
Yep.
So Eagles had a short week in both times. And, again, I just think it might have been a panic mode for a team that was 10-1, 10-3. Yeah, things weren't going your way. But it wasn't just the defense. Like, you had offensive struggles there. So just putting it on the defensive side, and then, maybe Patricia is taking what Desai put into the playbook this season. But for some reason, we went from a top six rush defense from, I think, week one to week 14. They were bottom six the rest of the season, those last few games with Patricia as DC. So there was just a lot of issues going on with the defense, and obviously the offense wasn't gelling with Brian Johnson and Nick Sirianni. So just really frustrating from an Eagles fan perspective.
Do you put any of this on Howie? I mean, I think Howie is one of the best general managers in football.
Without a doubt.
He's put together an unbelievable roster year after year after year, but they had some losses in the offseason.
They did, yeah. You lost T.J. Edwards to the Bears. Kazir White went to the Cardinals, I believe, with Gannon. And, I think draft philosophy, free agent philosophy, is going to be a big self-reflection for Howie. I mean, it's clear that Eagles don't really like to draft early safeties or linebackers. But that was that. Those were their weaknesses. I mean, you saw last night with Cade Otton wide open in the middle of the field.
To me, when it became most glaring, and is like this is the analytical thing to do, is right, is not value running backs or linebackers. But that San Francisco game where Purdy, just with the quick stuff, just put them in the blender with their linebackers. Yeah. They just had no prayer whatsoever. They signed Shaq Leonard. He's active. He doesn't even play last night.
The linebackers they were putting in there, Moreau, Cunningham, Shaq, it was just they were just bodies. I mean, it was just to fill the field. It felt like nobody was even out there.
Yep. It was one of the reasons why we always say death taxes start your tight ends against the Philadelphia Eagles. Yep. And Cade Otton easily cashes his prop as well. We talked about that earlier in the week last week about that, you know, the public was on that. And we were like, this time we actually side with
listening.
The public on that. You know,
they're listening.
1,000% as well.
But it's over. You know, that's how I see it. It's over. I don't know if Nick's going to get fired or not.
Do you want Nick, as a fan of the team, do you want Nick back?
Fan base feel?
The fan base obviously popcorn. Feels
speak,
like fire.
The entire fan base.
The fan base wants Nick gone. However, the coordinators absolutely need to be gone.
Right.
You can't have Patricia running this defense. Decide he might honestly be a good DC with some good personnel. But there's a lot of self-reflection. I think Nick was trying to run an offense with a Jalen Hurts from last year, and he obviously wasn't this year, and it hurt them in the end. So if he's gone, you know, there's a large pool of candidates out there. Maybe Ben Johnson is the next Philadelphia Eagles head coach.
Yeah. Didn't work for Brian Johnson. Let's bring Ben Johnson. Yeah. Let's roll through the Johnsons.
Yep. Belichick.
Belichick. Or Belichick. We'll see.
There Belichick in Philly would be something.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that.
Can you imagine Harbaugh in Philly?
Yeah. I'm rooting for it.
Yeah,
I root for Cam.
We'll see.
But you personally as a fan, I'm giving you the power. Nick Sirianni returns next year or not?
No. He doesn't return.
Wow.
He doesn't return.
Hey, man, he's Super Bowl last year. Short memories for
Penn State Blake, so angry. Last question for you, Penn State Blake. Yeah, you've been on way too long as it is. The last question for you. Eagles were 10-1 in the San Francisco game, and then Big Dom gets into a fight with the 49ers, gets thrown out of the game, and from that point forward, the only game you guys win is the Giants game where you barely beat them. You barely beat them. Is this all Big Dom's fault? Because if he doesn't get thrown out, maybe they continue the streak.
Yeah, I mean, Big Dom's been the glue that's kept everything together for the last 3 or 4 years. So
maybe he can play linebacker instead of Nicholas.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah.
Or call plays.
Oh, boy. Yeah, maybe.
Full power to Dom.
Big Dom. We love you, Big Dom.
There you go. Big Dom is back. Sirianni, maybe not for Penn State Blake. But,
great stuff, Blake.
All right. Thanks,
Big Dom. Good job. There you go. Penn State Blake.
Well played, Blake. Go Birds.
Much like,
go
Birds. Much go like Birds. The Eagles, he is too done on this show.
Oh, doesn't get better than that. Let's go to Pittsburgh Buffalo.
Mason Rudolph.
To Mason Rudolph, right? 31-17, the Bills end up winning this game. It felt a lot more distant than that at times, and then a lot closer than that at times. A big roller coaster of a game. The beginning, I feel like the Steelers were out of it immediately, and then the Bills let them hang around. Josh Allen, 203 yards through the air, the 3 touchdowns. He also had 74 rushing yards, highlighted by one of the better quarterback touchdown runs we've seen in quite some time, guys. Josh Allen basically got to do whatever he wanted against the Steelers defense.
This was a Superman game. This was like, you know, this is one of those like, hey, Josh, put your cape on and lead us to victory, and that's exactly what he did. He did everything. He passed magnificently. Obviously, you talk about the running. They had no Gabe Davis in this game. It didn't matter. You couldn't even tell. Honestly, that dime to Kincaid was just absolutely ridiculous as well. Stayed in the pocket. Just absolutely played well. This Shakir touchdown, you know, he's getting some help there. Just a ridiculous play by Khalil Shakir. But still, the fact of the matter is that they didn't have T.J. Watt, so they weren't able to get to Allen as well. But they still did get some pressure on him, but he stood in the pocket. And here's the touchdown run, which is just, I mean, this is ridiculous. They thought he was going to slide and just Josh keeps going. He just outruns these guys. Like, I would not want to be a Steeler watching the tape today having to see this run. This is just an unbelievable play by FantasyLife.com investor Josh Allen.
It was Kenny Pickett who got that play banned in college, right? So some great irony as he watches his successor Mason Rudolph get carved up on the other side. But no, Allen was magnificent. I think personally we have the two best quarterbacks in the NFL going head-to-head next week. With Allen against Mahomes, you can throw Lamar into that conversation, Joe Burrow, but I think those are the two guys. The only thing is, and the thing out of this game, which I think is a concern, is Buffalo lost like half their defense. which is kind of a problem going up against Patrick Mahomes. Like, all of these guys went down between Bernard, Teron Johnson, who's one of the best slot cornerbacks in the league. They have other guys in the back end going down. Now, the offense is just about fully healthy outside of Gabe Davis, but that is a concern going up against Mahomes, particularly because Mahomes, and his numbers weren't great against Miami. That was the best, I think, their offense has looked in a very long time.
It really is. On the other hand, the game's going to be in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Mahomes has never played a playoff game on the road, so that'll be interesting. Buffalo is not an easy place to play, especially if the weather is anything like it was. And I know they played well last week at home in cold weather. The Chiefs did as well. But this will be a really interesting one. It'll be an unbelievable game between the Chiefs and the Bills. Can't wait to see that one as well. We honestly have a bunch of great quarterback matchups. When you think about the entire divisional round, and we're going to break this down later in the week on Thursday, but you think about, Brock Purdy against Jordan Love, two quarterbacks that have exceeded expectations. They're both playing awesome, right? C.J. Stroud and Lamar Jackson. That'll be awesome. Mahomes and Allen. And then our game, the NBC game, is the great redemption game. It is Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff, who two former number one picks, who kind of, had a roller coaster careers, but this year both locked in, both playing really well, both led their teams to this game. So unbelievable storylines and some great quarterback play for this weekend.
On the other end of this game, of course, for the Steelers, I mean, they were 10-point underdogs going into this game. Mason Rudolph throws the brutal interception in the red zone. He still goes 22-39 for 229 yards and two touchdowns. Pat Freiermuth has a good game. Pickens with the brutal, brutal fumble in the first half. But much like the Eagles, a lot of the story and focus right now is on the head coach, and Mike Tomlin was asked about having 1 year on his contract after the game. Take a look at his response to the question.
Anyone?
Mike, you have a year left on your contract.
Amazing, by the way. Yeah. So for those of you that aren't watching, that only heard the audio, basically what happened is the reporter said, Mike, you have a year left on your contract, and he immediately just walks out.
Yeah.
Immediately. He heard contract. And
it's like, by the way, I don't know what preceded that, but my guess, Mike Tomlin, like, listen, part of my job is to address the media. You want to talk football? You want to talk about this loss?
Exactly.
I'm happy to talk about this loss. But the first question is, like, about my job status? When I've never missed the playoff, when I've never had a losing season as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, like, stop it. Like, I'll just say this, and I think a lot of organizations that have openings would feel this way. If Mike Tomlin is suddenly available, I'm really interested. Open arms of the Commanders, Mike Tomlin.
Right.
Come on down. Would love to have you as head coach of the Commanders. I think a lot of teams would feel that way as well. By the way, if he ever decides he wants to be into broadcasting, he'll be an amazing commentator.
Yes.
He would be great on TV. Like, Mike Tomlin's a winner. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and also, like, we rightfully make a big deal of what Kevin Stefanski did with Cleveland, and he did an amazing job, and they had more injuries outside of the quarterback position, but Mike Tomlin had three quarterbacks as well, and he didn't have the number one defense. That team somehow went 10-7, despite being outgained in the first 9 games of the season, which they went 6-3 in. Like, that was a pretty amazing coaching job, I think.
By the way, and Stefanski at least had Stefanski has more talent on the team. He had more losses, but he also had more talent on the team. And by the way, he at least had Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Like, he had a guy that's been a top five quarterback. Like, the best that Tomlin had was Kenny Pickett, who, was a healthy scratch in this game, right? I mean, like, and ultimately had to go down the stretch with Mason Rudolph and some Mitch Trubisky in there. Like, Tomlin had, and T.J. Watt was in and out of the lineup throughout the year, right? I mean, like, Minka Fitzpatrick, he missed a bunch of time as well. And so, Tomlin always does a great job. By the way, the Steelers play in the toughest division in football.
Yeah.
They went 10-7 playing in that. That's the toughest division in football.
Yep.
The AFC North, same with Stefanski. He's in the same division, obviously. But I thought the Steelers, it was, like, to your point, it was a weird game, but, like, I thought the Steelers actually played tough. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, the score doesn't totally reflect that, and they got blown out in the first half. But, again, the Mason Rudolph, interception in the red zone, absolutely brutal. The Pickens fumble was brutal. Freiermuth puts it on the ground as well. They end up keeping possession, but still, the fact of the matter is that the Steelers, after, by all accounts, it's freezing cold. You're on the road. You're getting your ass kicked in the first half. They easily could have come out and lay down, and they didn't. They played tough. They held Josh Allen, up until, like, the end of the fourth quarter, the Shakir play. But, like, they They got back into it. They clawed back into it with Mason Rudolph.
Right. They needed a stop at the end of the game, and they couldn't get it. And it goes back to your point of injuries. No T.J. Watt. Joey Porter Jr. has been their best corner this year, a rookie, and he got hurt in this game. They've had no other corners besides him. They're literally going to have to draft or sign two corners. So they were mandated. And Miles Jack, I mean, this is harsh, but there's a reason he left football to go be an electrician, and you see him come back. Like, I know it's harsh, but, like, he had a tough night. He had a tough night. They were thin on defense.
They were thin on defense. But it appears, I was listening to the broadcast, it appears they found something in this Jaylen Warren kid. I was not aware of this, but apparently Jaylen Warren, they've now got a 1-2 punch.
Who could have seen Jaylen Warren coming?
Who knew?
Oh, man.
I assumed it was just Najee the whole time.
Yeah. All season long. Who knew? But, right? I mean, we're all surprised. Like, who is this Jaylen Warren? I started looking him up. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's excellent.
That was a tough scene.
Did you know, I looked this up because I was shocked by that particular comment. And Jaylen Warren had basically 500 less total yards on the season than Najee Harris. Yeah. Like, I didn't look up the snaps, but I bet you the snaps are about even. Like, it's, if you've watched literally like 20 seconds of any Steelers
game. He's a thing for the entire year.
For the entire year. Like, I'm going to get myself in trouble. That was something. Hey, back to the other thing. I just want to say, we sort of skipped over this, but just on the Bills, back to the Bills for 1 second. I do want to say that, like, he's still not 100% right. But back-to-back games now with 7 receptions for Stephon Diggs, who was so quiet down the stretch. Like, it was good to at least see him. Again, we still haven't had the big play, the big Stephon Diggs play, but at least, like, possession-wise,
active.
Moving the chains, active. Like, that's been good to see the last 2 games for the Bills' offense, for Stephon Diggs, and for somebody who has him in Dynasty. So, yeah. There you go.
Let's take a look at the updated playoff bracket after recapping these games. So this is where it stands. As Matthew hinted at just a moment ago, these matchups are phenomenal. You have the Texans against the Ravens, Stroud, maybe future MVP and definitely offensive rookie of the year against the maybe 2-time MVP Lamar Jackson. Mahomes and Josh Allen, what more can you ask for than a Chiefs-Bills rematch? Jordan Love against Brock Purdy in guys that just had tremendous seasons.
By the way, Matt LaFleur back to San Francisco.
That's right. Matt LaFleur, who is an underappreciated coach in this league, I would say, against Kyle Shanahan.
That was a masterclass in play calling against Dallas.
And then the number one pick battle on NBC. The Bucks, Baker Mayfield against Jared Goff, the Lions. Those teams didn't draft them, but boy, they're happy they ended up with them. As we look at here, the Super Bowl odds, the Niners, no surprise, they've been the favorite going in, plus 175. The Ravens at plus 290, and then a bit of an open field. The Bills at plus 500, the Chiefs at plus 700, the Lions at plus 900, and then the 3 super long shots in the Bucks, Packers, Texans at plus 2500 there.
I've been saying for quite some time, you know, sort of chalk, but I think it's going to be a Niners-Ravens Super Bowl. Having said all that, like, I was going to bet this, I actually think, you know, sort of the Lions and the Chiefs at plus 700, plus 900 there, I think are pretty interesting. The Lions have a little bit of Team of Destiny feeling to me. Like, that's a team that believes, Dan Campbell has them believing they can do anything. I think they win against Tampa Bay at home this week, and then it's one game and anything can happen. So they've got a shot at the Super Bowl. It's Mahomes. It's Mahomes and Reed who have been there before.
He's won 2 games to make it to the Super Bowl. When you simplify it like that, Patrick Mahomes needs to win 2 games to go to the Super Bowl. At those odds?
Yeah, I mean, right?
Why not?
That's what I'm saying.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs, I'm very worried about all these Bills injuries on defense and the fact that the Chiefs offense, the fact that Rashee Rice played that well, and Kelce didn't have his best game, but at least he got on the stat sheet for like 7 for 71. So they're scary. But I'm with you, Matthew. If I was to make one bet, and this is kind of crazy because I haven't been that high on this team all season, but it would be Detroit at plus 900. Like, they need to win one game as a 6-point favorite to get to the NFC title game. And then, yes, San Francisco are terrifying, but for a terrifying best team in the league, like, I haven't forgotten Christmas night where Brock Purdy, like, there is a chance that he could just implode. And I'm a Brock Purdy believer. I think that they are going to win the Super Bowl. I think they're the deserved favorite. But he's not Mahomes. He's not Allen. He hasn't been there before and been able to perform in that spot. And probably the biggest game of his career that he got through healthy, he had the worst game of his career against the Ravens on Christmas. So I think the Lions, with that offensive line, their defense is playing better. Just Aiden Hutchinson is playing at like a close to Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons level at the moment. So Detroit would be my bet at +900.
Yeah.
And also, Super Bowl's in a dome, which is pretty handy for Jared Goff.
Yes. Which is definitely handy for Jared Goff. Last thing here as we wrap up this segment here, because we sort of bypassed it. We were doing a bunch of different stuff. But Penn State Blake, who was supposed to do a minute and a half, and I think he did about five or six, and all his diatribe against the Philadelphia Eagles, never mentioned, didn't take one moment to honor Jason Kelce, who's been a great Philadelphia Eagle, an MVP of their Super Bowl parade, you know, a few years ago as well, has a famous brother as well. I just want to take a moment here on Jason Kelce. So 13 seasons all with Philadelphia, six-time first-team All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowler, very successful podcaster, unbelievable on a parade. And oh, by the way, you saw it last night. Like when they needed, they used the tush push, the brotherly shove on a 2-point conversion and couldn't get it. And now Jason Kelce is retiring. So reportedly, that's the report as well. Like Jalen Hurts' fantasy value this year was, you know, kept afloat on some level by all the rushing touchdowns. They got within 2 yards and it was automatic because that's like the most unstoppable play in football. Last night it was stopped. And now Jason, like, I actually think it seems weird to say that there's a fantasy impact to a center retiring, but I would argue because of the way Jalen Hurts scores a lot of fantasy points, because of that play and because of his impact, I actually do think you knock Jalen Hurts' fantasy value down just a little bit because of this.
Yep, no, absolutely. Kelce's been a monster. I think back to the way he played against Kansas City in that game where he's, you know, running down the field, making these extra blocks. His mobility as well as his strength, I mean, it's incredible. He's one of the great centers of all time. And it is a big knock because Hurts, I mean, he was close to effectively setting the record for most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback. And it's not like he's running them in like Josh Allen was last night. Like these are largely a tush push, so it's a blow for Hurts in an offense that now is a bit of uncertainty.
Potentially the most athletic center of all time and an incredible player, incredible ambassador for the NFL. I'm excited to see what's next for Jason Kelce. With that, we're going to take our first break. When we're back, we're looking at my 2024 Mock Draft 3.0. A lot of players that will have a huge impact in Dynasty and Redraft next year right after this.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
You know what you did, Connor Rogers, while Jay and I are, you know, mucking around? You actually did some work. You grinded
I did
it.
For once,
your Mock Draft 3.0 is up now on NBCSports.com. It's free for everyone. 2024 Mock Draft. Before we get into it, Connor, I just want to ask, what's your methodology? Is this what, if you were in charge of every team, this is how you would pick it? Or is this just because you did this for years and years and years at Bleacher Report? You're now our draft analyst here at NBC Sports as well. I know you have contacts around the leagues as well. So is this what you think will happen or what you think should happen?
For postseason 3.0, I'm trying to get closer to what's going to happen. Because by then, you're talking to people, you have projections on players, you have all-star game invites, the season's over. You'd rather be closer to show the fans, hey, this guy's going to go here. I don't have to rank him. It's what the big board's for. I have a top 75 on NBC Sports if you want to see. I might have a guy sixth or fifth overall. He might be 24th on my rankings. But this is a quarterback league. Quarterbacks are going to go. Wide receivers are going to go. So for 3.0, the methodology is, what am I hearing on the players? What am I seeing with the fits? And how high can this player go in the draft?
Okay. Well, let's get stuck into it. Let's look at 1 through 10. No surprise, the two quarterbacks at the top, Caleb Williams, Drake May. How good do you think these guys are going to be from the jump, Connor?
I mean, they could be fantastic because they're such good athletes and they both have huge arms. So when you look at the limitations physically, there is none. A lot of people with Caleb Williams got carried away over the summer and went, oh, Mahomes. I see more of a Kyler Murray, but I mean, he's a better passer in my opinion than Kyler Murray, but makes those plays out of structure like Kyler Murray. With Drake May, you're going to hear a lot of Justin Herbert comparisons just because physically, 6'4", 225 runner, great accuracy down the field. Same could be said about Caleb Williams. Limitless there. It's funny, last year, guys, we had so much talk fantasy-wise around the running back class, Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, and on, the tight end class, and it was a great tight end class in fantasy, Kincaid, Laporta. And this year, very quarterback-heavy, very wide receiver-heavy. Yep. So still more fantasy-relevant than ever this draft, but just in a different way.
So questions for you as a Commanders fan here. So you have us taking, yeah, of course. Well, screw it. It's my show. What?
Don't hear about the Titans taking Olu Fashanu?
No, we're going to pass. You can do that on your Titans podcast that you host.
With Jay
you and Drew Dinsek. Yeah, you and Drew Dinsek, tighten up. So here's my question on Drake May. So first off, I know there was some talk of like, maybe Drake May goes over Caleb Williams. You don't think that's the case anymore. And then I've heard other people say, like, I wonder if Jaden Daniels goes ahead of Drake May as well. So am I Commander screwed by not getting the first pick by Caleb Williams, right? You know, are we stuck with, Ryan Leaf instead of Peyton Manning here? You know, is this one of those deals? Or
Zach Wilson instead of Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a fun one to live through.
Right?
But right now,
RG3 instead of Andrew Luck? You know, we had RG3's rookie year. And
that's true.
Is there a chance that Jaden Daniels gets into the spot? What are we getting out of Drake May specifically? And talk about the him versus those other two quarterbacks.
The Jaden Daniels one's a great one to bring up because I know one team and only one team that thinks he's the best quarterback in the draft. To show you how all over the place these rankings can be. Now, that team is not picking in the top five, so how much does that matter? But it shows you there are teams looking at these guys in a different way. With Jaden Daniels, why he can go in the top three picks is that this is a dude that is a scary runner. I mean, the last two seasons, over 2,000 rushing yards, and he could throw the ball down the field. Now, he's a lighter guy. He hasn't played as consistent, I think, as the other two over the whole stretch of his college career. He won the Heisman this year, but the whole stretch of his college career. Now, when you look at Drake May, you're getting a guy that throws with touchdown. I mean, the Terry McLaurin stock up, if Drake May goes there, I would say Jahan Dotson, because Dotson can win down the field. May throws a touchdown the field. He's a little chaotic. The decision-making is what a young quarterback looks like, where he'll take chances, very risky chances, but he can move. He could take a hit. He's a big-bodied passer that'll hold up in the pocket. If the Commanders, they already got step one out of the way, which is a big one. Adam Peters, a good evaluator, a respected evaluator. If they get a Ben Johnson and then draft a Drake May or Caleb Williams, I mean, this offense looks totally different.
Look at him. He can't contain his excitement.
He deserves happiness after watching this season.
I do deserve happiness. And if that how happens,
I think
we get
it really
Drake
could.
May, we get Ben Johnson as well. We have $80 million in cap space as well. I'm going to apologize to you guys and the viewers at home, because if you think I'm obnoxious and annoying now, wait till next year. Wait till next year when we're actually good, where we actually have hope, where we actually have a future.
You know what I think I need to do? I think I need to become a New York Giants fan and just lean into it to go head-to-head with your Commanders, head-to-head with Penn State, like the Eagles. You're a Jets fan.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be a Giants fan.
Yeah, or the Cowboys.
I grew up a Giants fan. I was a Giants fan, then I kind of lost my way a bit and started betting and less attachment to teams. But maybe I'll lean back into the Giants.
Giants would be fine. By the way, if Nick Sirianni does, in fact, get fired, Brian Daboll, the longest tenured coach in the NFC East, with 2 years, if McCarthy and Sirianni both end up losing their jobs, which is both.
Yep.
McCarthy's much more rumored than Sirianni, but there's a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hit on these wide receivers. Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, are they just going to be superstars from the jump? We've seen wide receivers come into the league. I mean, Puka Nacua is kind of a strange exception, but guys like Jefferson, Chase, who are just superstars from the
jump. You have Harrison going to the Patriots. You have Neighbors going to the Chargers. And then, Odunize going to the Bears.
Right, which would be paired with Caleb Williams, which you have to like a lot in that situation.
And then DJ Moore.
It's funny with Marvin Harrison Jr., you hate this situation because then who's the quarterback, right?
Sure.
They only do this if they go out in free agency and get Kirk Cousins or somebody they really like. Otherwise, they probably have to take Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Or Justin Fields, by the way, who apparently is now available.
Right. Right.
If they're taking Caleb Williams, they're not sticking.
He's getting traded.
He's getting traded.
So you think of Atlanta, you think of all of those teams that are quarterback needy. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a star in this league. For redraft evaluations, will be similar to how people looked at Ja'Marr Chase his rookie year. I mean, you just think, hey, he's going to be really good right away. Size, speed, he's bigger than Chase, which is crazy. Neighbors reminds me so much of DJ Moore. He is so good with the ball in his hands and wins without the ball in his hands over the top. A lot of people will say, how did the Chargers draft another wide receiver? It's going to be a new regime. Doesn't matter. Quentin Johnson means nothing to this new regime. They need another wide receiver. In any normal wide receiver class, Neighbors is the number one wide receiver. He's just in a class with the greatest wide receiver prospect we've maybe have seen in the last 10 years.
Right. So. Okay.
All right. Well, let's jump to 11.
You have him. You have Marvin Harrison Jr. Just for people that, you know, you have Marvin Harrison Jr. graded higher than Ja'Marr Chase. Justin Jefferson actually wasn't. You know, he was considered more of a slot guy. He became that. But, like, he was like a day two guy coming out, I feel like Jefferson was.
Chase was the best I've seen while doing this. And I would say Marv is at least equal with him. At the end of it, it could be a higher grade. Okay. I did have Jefferson in the first round. I've missed plenty, but I did have him at the end of the first round. And that's where he went, and it worked out pretty good for him.
Above Jalen Reagor.
But the slot thing was very real. That was very real. It was like, only plays in the slot. It's like, well, when you watch the reps outside, he's cooking people, and it worked out pretty good for Jefferson.
Indeed. All right, let's jump to 11 through 20. Yeah. Headlined by Michael Penix Jr. How much did he hurt his stock with the national championship game?
Not that much, Jay, because he played so well in the semifinal when he had been written off after his career at Indiana. He goes to Washington. He has a great 2 years. He's maybe the most pro-ready pocket passer in the draft. He's going to the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy announced last night, and he's going to have a great couple days there. His arm talent is just incredible. I've heard these teams in the middle range are all over him, knowing that the top three guys are going to be gone. Kevin O'Connell, when you watch his offense, it is a perfect fit for Penix Jr. Kind of makes you wonder if the Broncos at 12 or the Raiders at 13 try to get in front of Minnesota for maybe the last of the first-round quarterbacks.
Would be super interesting. Let's move down the list here. Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, you have him going to the Colts at 15 overall. I'll just say this. The Falcons at pick 8 could do the funniest thing of all time if they wanted to take Bowers. Yeah. I'm just you know, throwing it out there. You have them taking Dallas Turner from Alabama at 8. But I'm just saying, if the Falcons just wanted to really troll everyone in the universe, they could take Bowers. And I think about a year ago, we were like, first-round rookie tight ends. But in a year after Kincaid and Laporta, you know, you saw flashes from Michael Mayer. Like, suddenly Brock Bowers, who has drawn comparisons, you know, to Kyle Pitts in the sense of this is an elite tight end prospect.
Right.
It's different players, of course, but.
Right. It goes back to the combo we had on the show months ago where we were talking about Trey McBride. And we were like, why is Trey McBride, should he be a thing? He's the rare unicorn that was the guy in his college offense at tight end. Offenses in college, they don't use the tight end as the number one guy. He was that guy at Colorado State. Brock Bowers did this as a freshman and a sophomore for national championship Georgia.
Georgia, the SEC,
who they've had Pickens, they've had players, but he's the guy. They designed most of the passing offense, which was run by Todd Monken those years, around him. That speaks volumes of how special he is. He can win above the rim. He breaks a ton of tackles. He's a good blocker. He never comes off the field. Can play on the line, off the line. This is a special player at the position.
Yep, and the betting market rated Georgia as the best team in the country going into the SEC title game, and you can see how much they dropped off because Bowers clearly wasn't 100%
this year.
Next wide.
By the way, going to a Shane, if this holds true,
oh my goodness,
going to a Shane Steichen offense would be pretty interesting.
Yep, kind of the next wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. You've got going 17 to the Jags. What kind of impact will he have?
I don't know if this is even high enough, and nobody's talking about him, but his speed is different. He's 6'4", he's got great length, but he runs like the wind. He absolutely flies, he tracks the ball well. Jacksonville, a lot of people think they're going to lose Calvin Ridley in free agency. A lot of people are starting to think that, which means they go back to the well in the draft for wide receiver with the biggest big play threat. I mean, when you look at Jalin Hyatt last year, this guy's a better version of that. He really is. I think he's more well-rounded. So Thomas Jr., once again, buried in a great receiver class where the top three are superstars, this guy has legitimate number one potential. They think Jameson Williams, maybe not as fast, but he's bigger and plays stronger.
Yeah. A name that we need to get to know. Let's move now to 21 through 30, your third round here. And, you know, the first guy that sort of comes up here is Troy Franklin, the Oregon wide receiver who you have going to the Chiefs They do need wide receivers
that can catch the ball.
Yeah, Troy Franklin can catch the ball.
Right. Troy Franklin, very
what else can he do?
Will Fuller player. He just constantly runs by guys. He's been phenomenal for Bo Nix these last 2 years at Oregon. A true vertical threat. This is just a layup putting him in an offense with Patrick Mahomes, somebody that could stretch the field. Rashee Rice was interesting this year. He was used more of a short area target rather than a true field stretcher. So go get that guy in Franklin and balance this passing attack.
No, I like that. And this is – it's interesting that just the lack of running backs, right? Is there anyone who's going to go? Anyone going to flirt with
If I did a two-round mock draft, I don't know if we'd have one. That's how thin we are this year. The best running back in the country for the draft was Jonathan Brooks from Texas. He tore his ACL in October. So – Blake Corum from Michigan, nice player. Trey Benson from Florida State, nice player. But we are so far removed from last year with Bijan and Gibbs.
So this is a bunch of – sounds like it's some
– Dynasty third-round flyers.
Yeah, just guys that you're hoping that fall into the right situation as well. Last one for me here is Walker from North Carolina. Devontae's Walker. You have him going to the Buffalo Bills. Talk to me about Walker from Carolina.
Much like maybe Calvin Ridley leaves Jacksonville, maybe Gabe Davis leaves Buffalo, and they need that number two. Walker's very consistent. He had a weird NCAA issue where he couldn't get on the field the first 6 weeks as a transfer. He was phenomenal with Drake May the rest of the year. He has huge strides, can win down the field. He's very good in the short area. They need consistency at their number two wide receiver spot. He'd bring that to Buffalo.
Oh, certainly like that. All right. Well, good job. You can read the rest of Connor's mock draft again at NBCSports.com. It's mock draft 3.0. When we come back, our best bets for the divisional round on Fantasy Football Happy Hour.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook, this playoffs, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It is time for last call. Let's take a look at the early divisional lines and totals, Jay. What do you got your eye on for a truly phenomenal divisional round?
I'm eye on Patrick Mahomes. He's pretty good. And I like the Chiefs plus 2.5 here. It's minus 102, so it's almost effectively plus 3. And the reason why, I talked about this. Here are the Bills' defensive players who are injured at the moment. Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, Teron Johnson, Rasul Douglas, Taylor Rapp. All of these guys. I think Rasul Douglas is going to come back, but that's a problem, and you don't want to be that banged up against the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs team that looked a lot better last week. So give me the Chiefs plus 2.5.
I like that one.
Matthew, what are you looking at?
You know, I'm going to take the over on 44.5 Ravens-Texans. I get it. The Ravens have had time to, you know, prepare for this game, and they're at home, but, like, I don't know. The Ravens offense is so good, and as well as the Texans defense played against Joe Flacco, like, the Texans defense has some holes. So I think the Ravens are going to be able to score here, and I don't know. I believe in C.J. Stroud being able to go into this game. Like, if they're down big, like, I don't think this is a grinded-out game. So 44.5 strikes me as too low for two really good offenses. I get the Ravens defense is really good, but I don't know. I'm a believer in C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins.
Yeah, I like the Texans there as well. I just don't think Stroud should ever be a 9-point dog at this point. Right?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm going Texans plus 9. Simple as that. I agree with you because it's two things, right? It's either a close game or it's not a close game and puts the Texans in a throw script that the Texans are going to stay within 9 points.
Yes.
I don't see any outcome where they're completely blown out. The Ravens are great, but we need to understand how good C.J. Stroud is right now and how Bobby Sloak, Jay, I remember last week you were like, I love him, but the run pass, he needs to get out of that. And in the playoffs, the first game, he finally got out of that and looked amazing.
He did. And I think he learned his lesson against the Colts. Right. They almost lost their season. Right. Because that. Also, the Ravens are magnificent. It's like 3 games ago, the Ravens were 6.5-point dogs at San Francisco, and then Brock Purdy threw 4 picks. So I'm not sure that the Ravens are the absolute juggernaut everyone thinks they are. I think they're very good. I think they're the best team in the AFC, but I don't think this team is unbeatable.
Yeah, I don't. And I mean, D'Amico Ryans has this team believing in a big way here. And, like, again, like, I saw this tweet, but, like, C.J. Stroud is him.
Yes.
Right? He really is.
Legitimately.
He's him. All right, hey, it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Jay, Connor, and an angry Penn State Blake, I'm Matthew Berry. We'll see you back on Thursday for a preview. Peace out.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.